This is The Sun on the Strip. Welcome back, and thanks for listening. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news from the Vegas Strip in this second week of December. One of the all-time biggest sporting events in the history of Las Vegas, the National Finals Rodeo, is finishing up this week at the Thomas & Mack Center on UNLV's campus, and as we discussed last week on this show, it may happen off the strip, but it absolutely takes over every part of Las Vegas Boulevard. Today we're going to talk about a newer sports phenomenon that is definitely changing the face of strip entertainment. And joining me to share his expertise on this topic is longtime Las Vegas Sun staffer and managing editor Ray Brewer. Thanks, Ray.
Thrilled to be here. Fired up, man.
This is exciting.
Let's do this.
Yes. So the topic, of course, is the Vegas Golden Knights and how the team's hockey games at T-Mobile Arena have really legitimately become the hottest ticket on the strip. You've written about this. I've written about this. I feel like heading into the inaugural season last year, I definitely, as a longtime Las Vegan and sports guy myself, I still underestimated how hungry Las Vegas was for Major League Pro Sports, and the reaction to the Knights has proven that. As somebody who's covered sports in Vegas for so many years, what about this has surprised you, if anything, about the development of the team and these games and the incredible following for these events on the strip?
Yeah, I was one of the ones that was super, like, I didn't think it was going to work, right? We're a desert community. We don't have a youth hockey scene. We're not a hockey town that knows the sport in and out. In fact, I was the one that said, hey, we got to do these hockey 101 stories on the site because folks don't know the basic rules. And I'm not sure in year two that they have this great understanding of it, but what the Knights have become is like this great accessory, right? People in my age group want to go to a game and have a picture on Facebook because it's really, really cool. And it's not just the game. It's hanging out at the park before, getting some cocktails, maybe some dinner, maybe seeing somebody there that you might know or that you haven't seen in a while. So the team has gone from will it work to everybody wants to have a little slice of the action. And, you know, I think it's more than just what you said, oh, we were hungry to have major professional sports. One, we love winners. They went to the Stanley Cup final. Two, and I know we've talked about this until we're blue in the face, but they really did help us heal after the October 1 shooting, right? 6 days later, they have their first home game. England is beautiful. I know he's been on your show. And next thing you know, they score like a minute later. So people go from having tears in their eyes from the ceremony to like jumping out of their seats right for this first goal. And then it was a second goal. And then it was a third goal. 5 minutes into the game, they've got three goals. And ever since then, you couldn't get a ticket to get into the game. So I think the fact that they touched an emotion that we had, and then they started winning, and then all of a sudden it's like everywhere you go in town, people have Golden Knight gear on. And it's just become this cool accessory. And here we are, and dude, strip on a game night, man. That little corner over there is – and you're up there obviously weekly. I'm up there – you know, I'm old Henderson soccer dad – you know, I'm only up there when I need to be, but I'm like, wow, this is cool, man. This is definitely hype.
Yeah, let's talk about the show, kind of the showiness of these games, because that's the one thing that didn't surprise me. We knew that the Vegas team, the first Vegas team, was going to put a lot of Vegas into the production of these games, and that there was going to be more entertainment and more flash and stuff like that. But when I go to games, inevitably I end up talking to people who are here for the away team or people from a different city who are having this experience for the first time, comparing it to what they're used to, and they're blown away. They're just like, they can't believe what they're seeing. They're having such a great time, and it's a lot more than sports for them.
Yeah, so what the Knights have done is they've taken the traditional pregame and they've put it on steroids, and they've totally changed the way the league and its other teams go about hosting a game. And, I mean, you saw it during the finals with, you know, Imagine Dragons before, and just all the cool pregame stuff that they do, it adds to the entertainment value. It adds to the experience, and it's a gigantic part of why, A, the Knights have this great home ice advantage, right? They're tough to beat at home, but B, people want to keep coming back. Usually, you've been to games in other towns, right? If you don't want to get there too early, because now you don't want to, you know, you want to enjoy what's going on, and then you maybe walk up right at the first pitch or right during the jump ball. I feel at a Knights game, you want to be in your seat with your beer at like 6:50 because you want to see what's going on. And so whoever was behind it with the franchise to create what they've done pregame and in-game is like totally moved that sport, which was traditional and conservative and dull, and totally moved it into the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. I bet you've been to more major league sporting events outside of Las Vegas than I have. Do you? But I feel like T-Mobile is more welcoming to visiting fans than maybe other hockey and other sports arenas around the country. Maybe there's a little bit more like Vegas hospitality involved there.
Yeah, I would say that when this thing was built, the franchise, the league knew and the Knights knew that they were going to have to rely on visitors at least early until this thing picked up. Obviously, it picked up quicker than they thought to keep this thing going in a positive direction. So they braced for, you know, that night when the Blackhawks are in town and listen, there's going to be some Chicago people there. And I think they've done a good job of trying to limit the amount of tickets that were sold to opposing fans. Now, of course, the clinching game, the Capitals fans were all there, right, for the Stanley Cup. But I think you're right, that Vegas hospitality, we know how to welcome people. We know that you need to have a really good experience so you could go back to the middle of Wisconsin and tell all your friends how fun it was, so they want to come here too. And I think that shines. Whereas if you go to a game and it, like, I can only imagine going to an Oakland Raider game in Oakland, right? My Steelers just played there this weekend. Would I want to take my kid there? Would I feel safe? Would I feel secure? I've been to a Pirate game at Dodger Stadium where, you know, you sit up in a few decks at Dodger Stadium and start worrying about yourself. So, yeah, I think we definitely have that Vegas hospitality.
Plus, I mean, if you're a hardcore fan and you're going to go to a few road games every season, Vegas is definitely – you're definitely coming to Vegas for that game.
You're definitely coming to Vegas, and, you know, you're saving for it because, you know, it's more than the game.
And we're just going to see that explode when the Raiders get here.
Yeah.
That's going to take it to a whole new level.
Imagine a Monday night football game for the Raiders, right? Say you live in New York, right? It's cold there. It's, you know, you go come to Vegas, you party Friday night, Saturday night, all day Sunday, then you go to the game. That's a great weekend. I'm saving for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the thing that jumps out to me most about why Vegas Golden Knights games are so special is because I don't think there's ever been anything that has attracted locals to the Strip so consistently and, you know, 18,000 plus people for every week. It's really, it's like you mentioned, for those of us that live here to go down and like run into people on the Strip. I mean, I've spent the last few years of my life on the Strip covering shows and restaurants and clubs and all this stuff. And, you know, rarely do I bump into somebody that I know just randomly, because that just doesn't happen here. Unless you work on the Strip, you generally don't spend too much time there, unless you got people visiting from out of town that you want to take down to see the Fountains of Bellagio or something like that. But it's a really different vibe and environment when you have that many local people hanging out at these places.
And I think another thing that stands out for me is, you know, locals are willing to pay to be part of the Vegas Golden Knights experience, right? Whether it's a ticket that's probably a little more pricey than you imagined, or if it was entertainment or parking, I think that, you know, getting to go to a game, it's like, oh, gosh, we stop at nothing. We're finally getting to go to that game.
Shifting to a different sport, UNLV basketball plays BYU this Saturday at T-Mobile as part of the Coaches versus Cancer Neon Hoops Showcase. That will definitely get a lot of locals to the Strip also. First of all, is this is this early season game important for UNLV right now? And secondly, how big of a deal is it for this team to have this opportunity for this kind of second home court on the Strip? Is that still special?
Yeah, I think so. 3 years ago, UNLV played Oregon at MGM Grand Garden, and that was the first time the program had ever contested a game on the Strip. And I think when you're out there trying to sell recruits on coming to play for UNLV, that's a great selling point, right? The Strip is the most notable block of real estate in the world, and you're going to be on the marquee there one night on a weekend playing a game. Same marquee that Floyd Mayweather Jr. is on, same marquee as Britney Spears or pick your favorite, your favorite artist. You're going to get a chance to play on it. So that's significant just in selling your program to players coming in. I think it's also significant for UNLV because when the rodeo comes to town, they traditionally have to play on the road, right? So 2 weeks on the road is not ideal. So being able to get a game so close to campus, it's a perfect scenario for UNLV. And the fact that it is T-Mobile Arena, there's some pretty cool events that go on there. And then I think that rivalry with BYU, you got to remember like 10 or 12 years ago, UNLV-BYU basketball was like blood and nails. And I think that's a great opponent for a great night. There's obviously a decent BYU fan base here in Southern Nevada. And I think T-Mobile is going to be packed. And, you know, UNLV basketball, a team with great history, great tradition. They're in a transition. They're trying to get back up there. So the amount of nights that are special that Las Vegans have their eyes on the team are far and few between right now. And I think this is one night where UNLV could make a statement and maybe get some folks to come back when they're back on campus.
Mm-hmm. Well put. Are you going to that game?
I'm not.
You're going to be gone. Do you do holiday family stuff on the Strip ever? Do you go look at decorations and stuff?
So one year we went to a pizza restaurant on the Strip, and then we walked over to the Bellagio garden thing with the Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Yes. Very fun. Had a good time. Took pictures. My wife was able to put it on Facebook, and all systems were a go. But we're the type of people that go up for, like, anniversary, birthdays. We like Bobby Flay's Burger Palace.
I like that place too.
if that's in the cards, we'll do that. But I haven't taken my kid to T-Mobile at all. He actually wanted to go to a boxing match there. So maybe the next big fight.
There you go. Well, I hope you get down for a holiday burger this December.
I do too.
Thanks, Ray.
All right, brother.
Okay, speaking of that area of the Strip, Park MGM, which of course lives right next door to T-Mobile Arena. I went to Park MGM today, this morning, to get a tour of Eataly. This is the 40,000 square foot, pretty incredible marketplace and dining destination. Where is it in Park MGM? It's right on the Strip. So if you're looking at the park right there, where the Shake Shack is, right on Las Vegas Boulevard, leading into the park, just on the opposite side of Park Boulevard, where there used to be Diablo's Cantina back when this property was the Monte Carlo, this is the home of Eataly. I don't want to talk too much about it because I'm going to post a story at LasVegasSun.com right now. And there's going to be a ton of great photos shot by Wade Vandervoort that you're going to want to check out to get a better idea of this place. But what you need to know is that it's huge. It's not a food court. It's a massive marketplace. It's more like a kind of like a big city farmer's market vibe, only instead of vegetables and the like that you would find at such a thing, it's all sorts of Italian ingredients and food, and there's over 100 kinds of salami. There's over 300 kinds of cheese. There's a little fish market. There's a little butcher shop. There is a retail specialty store area with 5,000 different products, 2,000 of which have never been in Las Vegas before. There's a bakery. There's a wine shop with a little bar that was built specifically to be a place for you to taste wines and get educated about wines and be able to order wine at dinner, which is what we all need. And that little bar is right off the strip. I don't know, maybe you've been to one of the Eataly locations around the world, in New York, in the Flatiron District, or in Southern California. I had never been before, and it was pretty mind-blowing. And it was also, it's very different for Vegas. The market aspect is played down slightly because, you know, most of the people that are visiting this are going to be from out of town. They're going to be tourists. But they are hoping to get locals down to the strip to shop at this thing. And like me and Ray were just talking about, there's a lot of locals in that area for Knights games. So mayby these people will dip into Eataly for a bite to eat before or after. It's just a few steps away from T-Mobile and Toshiba Plaza. And then you'll see all these different amazing things that there is to buy and to eat. Yeah, people are going to say it's like a giant food court, but it's not, because you can't go to a food court and buy a steak and have the option of cook that up for me right now and give me a side dish and I'm going to sit down and eat it with my friends, or just wrap it up and I'll take it home. Every one of these little vendor spots in Eataly operates that way. Take it home, eat it there, do whatever you want. They also have an upscale kind of Italian steakhouse-y concept called Monzo. That's not going to open until January 23rd. It's a small, fancy 80-seat restaurant. There's a fresh pasta station. There's a whole nother restaurant that is all about pasta and pizza, Neapolitan-style pizza. They have Roman pizza that you've never even had before. I'm talking about it too much. This is all in the story. Go check it out. LasVegasSun.com. Eataly opens at Park MGM on December 27th. And there are other dining options in the vicinity at Park MGM that are also opening this month. Best Friend, which is a Korean restaurant from Chef Roy Choi from Los Angeles, opens on December 19th. That's right next to Eataly. La La Noodle, also on the other side, a Pan-Asian noodle shop, opens December 21st. Park MGM really is coming along. It's going to be by the end of this year, once those things open, once On the Record, the nightclub opens, it's going to be as close to being done as you can be. And I'm getting pretty excited about it at this point. Another quick note about Park MGM. The longest standing venue, the one that lasted the longest at the Monte Carlo, Double Barrel Roadhouse, closed on November 4th. There's no access to Double Barrel Roadhouse, to that space, from within the casino at this time. It was only you walk in off the strip. So that's closed. I'm sure MGM is going to put something else in there. We'll see what's going to happen. Okay, let's move up a little bit to the Cosmopolitan, because it was just announced. The Bond Bar, which has been closed and under construction, is going to turn into the Barber Shop. It sounds very hipstery. The Barber Shop is a fully functional classic grooming salon with a time-tested parlor ambiance, complete with a signature old-world-inspired cocktail program, according to its statement. Well, we know it's going to be cool because it's Click Hospitality, which is nightlife guru Andy Massey's company, and his nightlife partners, Ryan Lab and J-Rock, Jason Craig. These guys already run the Click Lounge at the Cosmopolitan, as well as several other nightlife venues, bars and restaurants on and off the strip. The newest one is going to be this barbershop concept. I mean, it's not surprising. Cosmopolitan has been doing interesting things and setting trends since it opened. So the barbershop is another venue in that tradition. The barbershop is opening in spring 2019. Meanwhile, on the north end of the strip, a really popular longtime restaurant, Smith & Walensky, is moving into the Venetian, the Grand Canal Shops, and construction. They just launched construction recently. This thing's going to open in April. Most people remember Smith & Walensky originally opening on the strip in 1998, very end of 1998, in a standalone building down toward MGM Grand. The new location, 14,000 square feet, two stories. It's at the, they call the South Canal Turnaround inside the Grand Canal Shops. And expect, you know, similar decor and design that that place is known for. It's a pretty classic chop house. I'm sure it will be modernized. There's going to be a very cool kind of Art Deco bar upstairs. Another great new destination of the Venetian. They keep adding things all the time. And there's probably a lot of people, specifically convention people, that are very anxious for Smith & Walensky to return to the Strip. From the Strip oddities department, I suppose, the Flamingo recently finished renovating almost 1,300 of its hotel rooms and is currently working on another 976 rooms. And by the end of the year, the Flamingo will have remodeled or built new rooms equaling two-thirds of its total hotel product. But the weird part is, among the new additions are 14 bunk bed rooms, which will be operational in February and are now available for booking. Bunk bedrooms. I said it right. There's a 1,000 square foot bunk bed suite that has a separate 430 square foot bedroom with two overhead full-size bunk beds in it. There's also a smaller standard room with queen beds that both have full-size bunks. So I suppose these are ideal for families traveling to Las Vegas. I don't know. I don't know if I want a bunk bed in my hotel room. It sounds a lot like the movie Step Brothers to me, which I love. But I've just never heard of that before. Flamingo bunk beds. And then, possibly even more bizarre, Makes Sense Variety Store, a 70s, 80s, 90s pop culture shop, is set to open this weekend, this Saturday, behind the Resorts World construction site on Sammy Davis Jr. Drive. This release says what started as a humble 600 square foot store 4 years ago in Wisconsin has grown into a pop culture paradise spanning two states, selling nostalgia from the 70s through the 90s and putting smiles on thousands of faces worldwide. Retro goods, including rare and collectible video games, classic toys, and memorabilia without the usual sticker shock. I mean, this thing, you know, there's so many interesting shops along the industrial Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin area. I think this could be a big deal. I think people could have some fun tracking down some nostalgic gifts and items at the Make Sense Variety Store. All right, some shows, some big new shows announced. Drake is going to be performing for the very first time at XS Nightclub at Wynn on January 10th. Of course, during this year's or next year's CES convention. That's a huge deal. There's a lot of rumors swirling around right now about certain artists maybe moving from nightclub to nightclub with some new venues coming on at Park MGM and at the Palms. You know, DJs and artists are always kind of moving depending on where they perceive the hot new spot to be. And you can't really find a bigger artist than Drake. So he's going to be playing at XS January 10th. And that's going to be a huge deal. We'll see if that translates into some sort of residency or at least some returning performances there throughout the year, possibly on big weekends. Justin Timberlake, whose show was canceled at T-Mobile Arena, his December 1st concert was canceled due to some illness issues for him, has been rescheduled. He's back on at T-Mobile for March 8th. That is a continuation of the Man of the Woods tour for Justin Timberlake at T-Mobile. Lady Gaga hasn't even begun her residency at Park Theater yet, but she has already expanded it. Let's remember this. Lady Gaga is doing two different shows during her residency. She's doing a big concert blowout visual spectacular called Enigma, and then she's doing these jazz and piano shows. Fewer of those, but a more intimate, softer spoken performance. And that's the kind of show that she's added. So in June, two in October, two in November, more jazz and piano shows rounding out her scheduled performances. Tickets for these new shows go on sale Friday. Over at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace, Van Morrison, who had already scheduled some dates early in the year, has added a few more. So now he's going to be at the Coliseum from January 25th through February 9th. Not every night. Go look it up. Also at the Coliseum, Daryl Hall and John Oates are coming in March for a very special limited engagement. Three shows, March 20th, 22nd, and 23rd. I don't know if they've played the Coliseum before. I think that's new. Tickets for Hall & Oates at the Coliseum also go on sale Friday. Back at Wynn, we very recently discussed that Diana Ross is creating a new show to be launched at Encore Theater in February. And now the other resident at Encore Theater, who's probably been there the most over the last 18 months or so, is doing the same. John Fogerty is coming back to Encore with a new show called My 50-Year Trip, which is supposed to be in celebration of the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, where Creedence Clearwater Revival really broke through. I saw Fogerty's show last year at Encore Theater and loved it. It's a really, man, that guy's getting up there, but he has really got the energy. It's a pretty hard rocking show, and it's not what you would necessarily expect in such a fancy, intimate venue. So it's a lot of fun. I recommend it. I'm sure this new one is going to be even better. So he's coming back in April, starting April 10th. Tickets, you guessed it, are on sale Friday. And then maybe the most special and unique new show coming to the Strip is Rob Lowe. Yes, critically acclaimed actor and author Rob Lowe will make his Las Vegas debut April 13th at the Criss Angel Theater at Planet Hollywood as part of his Stories I Only Tell My Friends Live tour. This show is inspired by his best-selling memoirs, Stories I Only Tell My Friends, and Love Life. So it's a peek behind the curtain at Hollywood, fame, fatherhood, marriage, and a life lived at the forefront of culture for four decades. I don't feel like Rob Lowe looks like he's old enough to have been famous for four decades, but I guess that's what makes Rob Lowe special, right? April 13th, Rob Lowe's telling all his stories and secrets. Planet Hollywood, and tickets are on sale Friday. All right, what's coming up this week? Well, as mentioned, it's still NFR time, so that means we got tons of country music. Reba Brooks and Dunn are wrapping up at the Coliseum Friday and Saturday. Dwight Yoakam is at Brooklyn Bowl on Friday. Gary Allen is at the joint at the Hard Rock Hotel Friday and Saturday, and rising star Kane Brown is at Park Theater on Saturday. If you're tired of country music, head over to the House of Blues on Friday. Little Steven is there doing the Jersey blues rock thing. Dave Cozen Friends Christmas Tour, a little holiday jazz action Friday at the Red Rock Resort out in Summerlin. And of course, reiterating, the Neon Hoop Showcase at T-Mobile Arena on Saturday, and that has not only UNLV against BYU at 5:30, but LSU plays St. Mary's after that. My favorite show, guys, my favorite show is hitting the Hard Rock Monday night for its big fifth anniversary show. Of course, I'm talking about Monday's Dark, created and hosted by my good friend Mark Chinook, who is also my co-host for the All the Vegas podcast presented by Las Vegas Weekly magazine. You can go check out our show at allthevegas.com. Mark has been doing this incredible charity variety musical show in different places for 5 years now, and it's so impressive what he's done. He's currently doing two shows a month at his own venue, The Space, and every show raises $10,000 for a different local charity in just 90 minutes. And it's just a really amazing thing, a convergence of the Strip and local Las Vegas in a unique and fun way, and it's just a feel-good time. And the anniversary show is going to be at the Joint at the Hard Rock Hotel Monday the 17th, and I cannot recommend it enough. I will be there. Please come out and say hello if you're in town Monday night. That's going to do it for this episode. Please listen and subscribe to Sun on the Strip on Apple Podcasts. Catch all my coverage of the Las Vegas Strip at lasvegassun.com. See you next week right here.